Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1. Reading out of King James, it says, "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth." Out of the Living Translation, it says, "A good reputation is more valuable than the most expensive perfume." The second part Ecclesiastes 7:1 says, "The day one dies," out of the Living Bible, "the day one dies is better than the day he is born." You know, when the Bible makes comments like that, that's when we stop and think God's got to be crazy. I mean, absolutely nobody thinks that it is better the day you die than the day that you were born. But you know, when we run across those kinds of statements in the Scriptures, what we have to stop and understand is this: God is not the one who's crazy. Our thinking needs to change. You see, all the hell we catch here is all the hell we're going to catch. It only gets better from here. For the redeemed, it only gets better from here. And really, if we just had a small glimpse of what all that was about, we wouldn't even want to be here anymore. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have things that we're not concerned about, which, by the way, Mom, Michelle said she'd take care of me, so just worry about Kent and Lisa. Amen?
Amen.
We have. She said, "If I have to." There are things and there are people that we are concerned about, you know? But I'm going to tell you something. You'll never really start living till you're ready to die. If I die today, it's okay. Now, I've got two grandchildren that I absolutely adore. Would just love to see them grow, go through the things that they go through when I, you know. My children, they all think they're grown, but they're not really. But hey, if today is the day, even so, Lord Jesus, come. Because really it is true, more blessed is the day we die than the day we were born. But what I want to share with you this morning is about a good name. King James says a good name is better than a precious ointment, a good reputation. And we're going to use those words interchangeably, name and reputation, is more valuable than the most expensive perfume. You know, there was a time when our culture and our society was different. Our communities were smaller. People knew people who lived in their neighborhoods, who lived in their cities. When people would say things like, "Boy, what is your name?" Because in asking that question and getting an answer, they knew who it was you were family with. It used to be that we would ask the question, "Who's your daddy?" And in the answer to that question, people would form an opinion as to who we were. But you know, our society has so changed that we don't even know the neighbor next door. I don't know mine. Went over and introduced myself when he first moved in, but other than that, you know, we haven't talked. Don't have a neighbor on the other side, thank the good Lord. I like my privacy. But we don't know the people who are around us. There isn't, where we live, there really isn't a sense of community. Let me digress for just a second and talk about community. Community is important, though. People need fellowship with like-minded people. Okay? If we don't get it at where we live, we need to definitely have it at church. My service man, who's been working for me now for about 8 months, he and I were headed to Lowe's the other day to pick up some parts, and he started talking to me about the Masons and how he's a Mason, and he wanted to try to open the door to introduce me to the possibility of maybe becoming a Mason. I told him I didn't have hands made for brickwork. I think I'll just stay a Christian. Nonetheless, he was offended by that and wanted to tell me how this whole thing started and how Christian it is and, you know, all sort of thing. And I said to him, I said, you know, I will, you know, I'm not going to argue those points with you. You're a grown man. You ought to be my daddy. I'm not going to stand here and argue with you about it. But I said, I'm going to tell you this. Let me tell you what Masons and Shriners and Lions and Tigers and Bears, you know, and the Eastern Star and all this. Let me tell you what those are. Those are all a testimony to the failure of the church to create fellowship. That's what that is. It's a testimony of the failure of the church for men to have a camaraderie in the church, so they go out and they are Masons and Shriners or Lions and Tigers and Bears or whatever it is they, you know, whatever club they belong to. If the church was doing its job in meeting the need that we have for the feeling of community, we wouldn't have to have those things. My daddy used to say to me, "Son, what's your name?" And we were taught to answer back, "Hall." And he'd say, "Act like it." Remember those days, Mom? Back them days ain't gone. My dad used to say to us, when in Rome, anybody know how that finishes? Not in daddy's house. When in Rome, you still act like a Hall. The Romans might be wrong. Don't change because you're somewhere else. You be what I raised you to be. When in Rome, act like a Hall. Don't act like a Roman. Why is it important for us to have a good name? In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, I'm sorry, it also says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. But why is it important for us to have a good name? In Psalm chapter 51, verse 3, this is what David says. "For I acknowledge my transgressions, my sin is ever before me." The reason why it is important for us to have a good name is because the decisions we are making today will have an effect on our lives for the rest of our lives. Now, this is an extremely important message. For those of you who are young enough to be my children, back there, I'm going to be, yeah, and Wes, you too. Teresa said she was young enough. Brian, talking to you. I'm talking to you. You're young enough to be my daughter too. The decisions you all are making today are going to affect you for the rest of your life. I've been out of high school for over 20 years. Do you know that when I run into somebody that I went to high school with, they remember how I was, not who I am? And if you are different from the way you were, they are very slow to believe there's ever been a change. Isn't it amazing how we readily accept the bad things that people do and remember them for them and are very slow to accept that people can change and can be different? Now, I will tell you this, outside of Jesus, there is no such thing as a permanent change. Now, we can change ourselves by willpower for a certain amount of time. Okay? But permanent change is only brought about by the blood of Jesus. The past is never in our past until it's under the blood. The past is always a part of our present until it's washed by the blood of the Lamb. The decisions that you young people are making today concerning absolutely, and I'm going to get on the old folks in a minute, okay, so. Affect, every decision you're making today affects what will happen to you, will have a consequence and a ripple, like a rock in a pond, that keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. The decisions you make in school, the reputation, the name that you have for yourself in school. The decisions you make about who you date and who you hang out with. The decisions about the movies you go to see, the drugs you may or may not be involved with. All of those sorts of things will have a long-lasting ripple effect on you. But hey, just because we're 40-something, that or 50-something, or 60-something, or whatever-something, that doesn't mean that the decisions we're making today are not going to affect our lives. Let's not just go get them done. You tell them they're not listening to me. They're not listening to me either, but I'm still telling it. But the same thing's true about us. Let me tell you something, young people and older people. God will forgive us of our mistakes, but He doesn't wipe away the consequences. And that hell to pay can be hell to pay. All because of wrong decisions that we make. A good name is better to have than a precious ointment. As I was working on this last night, let me give you something that God gave me. You ready? No, you're not ready, but hold on. Just grab your seat. You may not be doing what everyone else is doing, but you can gain a reputation by association. You may not be doing what everybody else is doing, but you can gain a reputation by association. I'm like, oh, Lord. This morning, as I was waiting on the news to come on, I was listening to Robin Gould. I like to do that in the mornings when I'm waiting on the news. I like him. And he was talking about that a parent in his church had brought a young person to him, their son, and the son was all upset because he'd been accused of shoplifting in some store that he'd been in, and he hadn't done a thing, and he was all mad about it. And Robin said, well, if I'd been in the store and I'd looked at you, you look like a hoodlum. I'd probably accused you of it too. He said, son, if you don't want to be accused of doing the wrong thing, then don't look like the wrong people. I'm thinking to myself, we need a lot more preachers like that. If the guys who are doing the wrong thing are wearing their waist around their knees and you're wearing your waist around your knees, you look like them, you're guilty by association. I've always thought if you ever had to get out of the way quick, you'd fall over them pants. You know? You're probably going to get killed because you want the world to see how big a hiney you do have. Well, we don't need you to drop your drawers to see that. Your attitude tells us more than we ever want to know. I've had this conversation with my son. It is rehearsed. This didn't just come to me last night. I thank the Lord He's pulling His pants up now. But I said, until you become a plumber, don't show us that. People. And we're in church, so don't have fun. People believe what they want to believe. People, and they will always believe the worst. And see, the thing is, you might be doing drugs, but have never sold them, but be accused of selling them because that's the crowd you hang out with. And you see, the thing is, I'm going to tell you this, the truth dies quickly and a lie stays alive a long time. And just when we may have outlived it and changed and moved on, other people are still living in our past. And they love to remind us of where we've been. A good name is more precious than an expensive perfume. And I know something about trying to find expensive perfume. They don't make my wife's anymore. And that stuff is expensive. But I don't go to anywhere without looking to say, I went to Greensboro, a month ago. Got out the Yellow Pages and looked up these perfume warehouse discontinued brand thing and did find some. Because I'm not going to not find it if I can find it. But I put a lot of effort into that. A lot of effort has to be made into having a good name. But every effort that is put into it is time and energy well spent, because it will carry you a long ways. Let's take a walk. How about at school? For those of you who are still in school, your name is everything there. Change it out with the word reputation, but it's still the same thing. When my brother and I were in high school, junior high and high school, we were known as the ball players. When we moved here from Winston-Salem and my brother joined the junior varsity basketball team, their team had not won not one game in a season and a half. And when he joined the junior varsity, 2 weeks after he joined the team, they played, I'll never forget as long as I live, they played Ransom Junior High on the north end of town, who had not lost in years, and beat them. I'll never forget it because there was a big fight after the whole thing was over. The whole floor was covered up, people swinging fists. But there was a reputation that we had, that people knew us. One time I got threatened by a guy bigger than me when I was in junior high. And I was scared of him. And so I hit him with a folded chair while he wasn't looking. And I developed a reputation of being crazy. Don't mess with him, he's crazy. No, he's not. He's scared. I remember when I was in my late teens, I thought somebody had changed my name. I thought it was Jimson. I thought my eyes should be slanted. And I thought I'd changed not only names, but nationalities. Because everywhere I went, nobody knew it was Don. It was always, oh, that's Jimson. If you say it fast enough, it sounds Chinese, doesn't it? Jimson. And Daddy would go to speak somewhere, and I'd go to sing. We're so glad to have Pastor Hall here with us tonight to preach. And before he comes to preach, his son is going to sing for us. Come on up here, Jimson. But you know, that wasn't such a bad name. That was not a bad name to have. As we get a little older, we develop a name, a reputation at work. You know, the question we have to ask ourselves is, do the people that we work with consider our name and reputation to be a true reflection of Christ in our lives? Are we the people who show up early and work late and work hard all day long? Or are we the people who are trying to constantly see how much we can get out of? It's called a work ethic, ladies and gentlemen. Not a word used much anymore, that and chivalry. Not one used much anymore, but one still that the kingdom of God is very interested in. If you'll stop and think about it, every disciple that Jesus called was busy doing something else when he called them. They were all working. But we develop a name for ourselves. We develop a reputation for ourselves when we're in school, when we graduate, when we're in the workplace. We also have a name that we might not like that we have at home. Daddy's just no grouch. My children will tell you that I don't work for a living. All I do is sit and talk on the phone all day. Oh, he don't work. He just talks on the phone all day. I've heard that. I'm sick of it. I say, you come do it for me then. But there are names that we need to have in our homes. Names like trustworthy. Names like faithful. Names like honest. Names like loving. Names like fair. You understand? I hate that word too. I hate the word fair. I've told my children all their lives, when God becomes fair, I'll be fair. Until God's fair, I'm not going to be fair, and God's not fair. Now, a lot of people go, what? If God was fair, He'd have to give you what you deserved. Anybody want that? Good. I don't want God to be fair. I want Him to be merciful. So that's what I mean. That's what I'm giving you, children, is mercy, not fairness. But this is still not fair. Right. So deal with it. Because it ain't getting any fairer. And you might as well hear it now. Because when you get away from home and you're working for people who don't love you, you're going to hear it a lot more. Fair. That you deal even-handedly. In your house. What is the reputation that we have? There comes a time in our lives, hopefully, as we mature, that we sort of have a name change. It happened to Peter and John. Did I put 1 John up there? No, okay. In John chapter 1, verses 41 and 42, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." And Andrew brought Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked at Simon and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You shall be called Cephas, for which is translated Peter." Jesus changed his name. Names are very important to God. Names are very important to God. And he was very detailed about Jesus' name. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, we read, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins." You know, Mary and Joseph didn't get together and decide on what they were going to call Jesus. When Mary was pregnant with him, there was no question as to whether or not his name would be Joe Jr. Because the name had already been decided. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, it says, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing," which I love that expression, "that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." His name is Jesus, the Son of God. In, what are we in? Luke? Matthew? Luke? I thought I had one out of Mark. I guess I didn't. In John chapter 1, verse 29, we read this. "The next day John the Baptist seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 9 through 11. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Names are important. And God was very specific and particular about what His Son would be called. The Bible tells us that Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, and in favor, having a good name, a good reputation with God and with man. It is important to us as believers and as representatives of Jesus Christ in the world that we have a good name. Now, all that I've said up to this point is introduction. It's a long intro, a short sermon. All I've said, I want to lead up to this. What name does the devil call you and you believe? Some of you look at me like, huh? Okay. What name does the devil call you and you believe? Oh, your name is, you're no good. Oh, your name is, you can't do that. Oh, your name is, you'll never change. Your name is, it won't ever get better. What is the name that the enemy is endeavoring to sell to you, and you've bought it? Let's change the word to label. We can even stick with our word reputation. Well, you know, I've always been this way. My daddy was like this, and his daddy before him was like this, and I guess I just was predispositioned to be like this. Well, welcome to your label, predisposition. Welcome to your name, the name that the enemy has sold you. Because the truth is that Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood for you to be different from your daddy if you want to be. Or your mother or your aunt or whoever it is you're blaming. And I did use the right word there, blaming. Okay, just want to make sure we didn't miss that word. Because you can be whoever you want to be in Jesus. And you can be all you can be, not in the army, but in Jesus' army. A few good men are all in, not in the Marines, they're in the army of God. That's where the good men are. What name has the devil sold you? You're ugly. You're not handsome. You'll never be successful. What name has he endeavored to try to tattoo on your mind? Whatever it is, it's time to give the devil back his name. I'll just take it a step further. Pat messed in your business enough. Let's go a little bit further. What name are you selling yourself? Should have prayed and gone home, shouldn't we? What name are you selling yourself? What is it that the enemy has so sold to you that you reinforce it to yourself? He doesn't even have to come around and remind you anymore because you're doing such a good job for him. A good name is better than an expensive perfume. But you've got to change your name. You've got to see yourself as Jesus sees you. You've got to believe about yourself what Jesus believes about you. And you've got to have a name change. I had a friend of mine. His name is Rick Stoker. In fact, he was recently, several months ago, he was written up in Charisma magazine. He pastors a church in Wilmington, North Carolina, that is downtown on the street. It's a storefront church on the street where all the winos sleep and the prostitutes hang out. And his entire congregation is winos and prostitutes. And he was written up in Charisma magazine about this church he has in Wilmington. But when Rick Stoker was born, that wasn't his name. His name was Anthony Stewart Stoker. When he was about 2, his mother went to have his initials put on something and they realized what his initials were. Anthony Stewart. So his daddy ran down to the courthouse and had his name changed to Anthony Rick. Now we don't need to go to a courthouse to get our names changed. That's a true story, guys. That is a true story. Yeah, it's too wild to not be true, isn't it? We can have a name change. We don't have to go to courthouse. We just have to stop believing the lies that have been sold to us about who we are. Some of you may be buying the lie that your best years are behind you. That's a lie. If you're breathing, your best years are in front of you. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation, start in Genesis. I'm sorry, just kidding. Verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This is what the Spirit says. To him that overcometh, overcomes what? overcomes the names the enemy tries to put on you. Try to him who overcomes the temptations that the enemy places in front of you that will affect your name and reputation for the rest of your life. Ladies and gentlemen, this should not come as any surprise to anyone, but there are people out there that no matter how much you do to change and be different and repent, they will never forgive. And never forget. To him who overcomes, who understands that a good name is more important than a precious perfume, who works to be an example of the reputation and name and credibility of Jesus in this world, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in that stone, and I on my notes, I highlighted, I bolded this and underlined it, a new name written, which no man knoweth, saveth he that receives it. We are headed towards receiving a new name. But we are responsible for the name that we have now. Hear me? We are responsible for the name we have now. I want to give you something this morning. I was out at 10:30 last night in the rain. Getting these. I have them in my yard. That's why I had to go out in the rain to get them. At 10:30 in the rain, I wasn't willing to go in and wash them. Yeah, they were washed in the rain. But you can take them home and wash them. Picked up 100 because of my optimism. Coming, Ray. Don't throw this. I didn't know it was going to be funny. Of course, I guess anything I do is funny, isn't it? Let's go back to 2:17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saveth he that received it. What I want you to do today is I want you to take that stone home with you, put it somewhere where you'll remember it, and I want you to call it your hope stone. H-O-P-E. Your hope stone. You see, I'm 45, and I have things in my past that I hope I'm going to be overcoming. I have things in my future that I'm going to have to overcome. I desire to have a good name that is more precious than perfume. But my hope is in the rock whose name is Jesus. My hope is in the stone that the builders rejected. And there are names that the enemy calls me. There are names that I call myself. My wife gets on me all the time. When I do something really dumb, right out loud I'll go, "Stupid." And she calls me down every time I do it. But it's a lie that I bought. But in that stone, what I want you to see is that there's hope. Now that one in your hand is not near as important as the one you're going to get, but let it represent it. Let it represent the stone you're going to receive in glory with a name that only you will know. Because there is hope in the stone that the builders rejected. In the rock on which we stand. And it is so much better for us to stand on the rock than have the rock fall on us. There are names that Jesus calls you. He calls you friend. He calls you child. He calls you loved. He calls you accepted. He calls you His. He says, "You are mine." That's what I want that stone to remind you of. When I get home, I'm going to take mine. I'm going to take a black Sharpie. You know what Sharpie pens are? And I'm going to write "hope" on mine. And put it on my desk where I work these sermons up. As my hope stone. I hope that the failures I've made in the past will be washed away. And I hope that my future will be even that much better because Jesus will be walking with me. Because my only hope is not in me, not in my resolve, not in my gifts, talents, or abilities, or even in my want to. My hope is in Him. I'll say this in closing. I spent a period of lifetime in my life where I was hopeless. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not a worse place to live that I know of. There's not a worse place to live than to live in hopelessness. There were days I would work myself so hard to be able to try to sleep at night. And my life was in such turmoil that even no matter how much work, I couldn't sleep at night. And I would sit in a recliner and cry myself until I was just so weary that I would sleep just long enough to wake up and cry some more. It is a miserable place to be. When you feel like that nobody loves you, nobody cares, when you feel like that what is the point in tomorrow? Because it's just going to be the same. I want to use a really strong word, but I won't. Mess, just like it was today. What is the point? I've been there. And I only survived because of Jesus, who is the white stone. The stone of hope in my life and in yours. I'm going to ask you, if you will, this morning, as we close in prayer, I'm going to ask you to reject the name that the enemy's tried to give you. I'm going to ask you to reject the name that you continue to reinforce upon yourself. And I'm going to ask you to open up your heart and receive the name that He has for you. The name, child. Whatever stage of life you're in. From that little bitty, teeny, tiny baby that just went out of here, all the way up to the oldest person in the room. If you're breathing, life is good. And there's still a work for you to do, because if there wasn't, you wouldn't be here. Don't lay down on God. He's already laid down on a cross for us. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Would you repeat after me? Heavenly Father, I curse in my life the whispers of the enemy and his every attempt to label me. I curse his lies. I curse his influence. I curse his gateways that allow him entrance to speak to me. I curse the names that I reinforce in my life. I am your child. I am loved by you. I am accepted by you. I am trusted by you. And I am grateful for your investment in my life. I receive your grace. I receive your mercy. I receive your love. And I receive the name child from you. Father, I ask you that you would indeed burn this prayer upon my heart. And that from this day forward, receiving my new name, I would reflect who that is. Amen. Father, I pray for your people that indeed our hearts, our lives, and our spirits would be open to receive the name of your child. Well loved, well received, and welcomed. We know that we come. And we know that in our hearts, all we have to say to you is that we are not worthy to be called son. Would you just hire us as a servant? We know that that is a truth. But we thank you that you reject that truth for a higher truth. Here's the robe. Here's the ring. Here's the shoes. Here's the kiss. Here's the lamb. Son, we receive from you that label. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I let you go, I want to say this. During that prayer, I heard another label. I didn't think about this one last night. I heard another label. Bride. Bride. Except that one. Except that one. For that's what we are. The bride of Christ. The Lord bless you. It's been a wonderful morning. Look forward to seeing you next week.